Well, I'm glad you made it today. It's good to see you. You're looking good. Welcome. I'm excited about today. Happy Super Bowl Sunday, by the way. I'm glad you could be here today. And I'm excited to be kicking off a new series today called Building Great Relationships. I think that's something that's so important for all of us. You know, no matter where you are today, no matter who you are or where you are in your spiritual journey, whether you are a committed Christian or you're coming back to church for the first time in a long time or you're just here kind of checking this out, I think we all know how important relationships are in our lives. I don't have to ask you today, are relationships important in your life? Because I know they are. I know there's something that we all need in our lives. They're vitally important to who we are. And so we want to get better at relationships. You know, studies have shown over and over again that people who have healthy relationships in their lives, they are more fulfilled, they are more content, they are happier, and they actually live longer. Can you believe that? Think about all of the things that people are doing these days, diet and exercise and taking all of the right medications. The truth is, maybe you just need to improve your relationships to add a couple of healthy years to your life. And so if you want to be more fulfilled, if you want to be happier, you want to be more content, and you want to live longer, then we want to work at improving our relationships, because you have to put up with these people anyway. We might as well learn how to get along better, right? So that's what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. Now, let me just ground this in scripture for you, okay? Because Jesus, he gave us the great commandment, one of the most famous scriptures in all of the Bible. Jesus said, listen, this is what it all boils down to. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Basically, Jesus said, if you want to know what it's all about, what the scriptures are essentially about, it's about loving God and loving people. And so loving people is like half the equation. So if we want to get better at our spiritual walk, at our walk with God, we want to get better at loving our friends, our family members, our spouse, our relationship with God. We want to improve these relationships. So for the next few weeks, that's what we're going to be talking about. This is going to be a very practical series. We're going to be looking at wisdom from God's word. So I want to encourage you to be here for the next few weeks. I want to encourage you to invite some friends. This is a great series because most everybody, this is an area where people are looking for more fulfillment in their lives. They want to have better relationships. And so we're going to be digging into God's word because I really believe that relationships are an integral part of our lives, but they're also a very important part of who we are spiritually, who we are in Christ and in the plan that God has for us. And so we're going to be talking about that for the next few weeks. It's going to be a great series. Well, today we're going to talk about friendships. Let me ask you this question. How many of you would like to have more deeper and satisfying friendships? Some of you, a few of you, yeah, most of you in this place. I'm talking about really not just surface level acquaintances, but friendships that really make a difference in your life, that really add value to your life. How many of you would like to have more people that you can really count on who really make a difference in your life and friendships that last for the long haul? I think most of us would desire that. And the scripture actually has a lot to say about that. Now, I know today is Super Bowl Sunday. Many of you, like me, you may have football on your mind today. I'll just tell you, I'm pulling for Peyton Manning to go out with a win. I'd love to see him win and retire. I don't know. I think it's going to be a tall order to beat Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, but I'm pulling for my boy Peyton. But, you know, this past week, speaking of football, I was watching an ESPN 30 for 30 documentary on the 1985 Chicago Bears. And if you remember that team, I think there's a picture up there. And this was the team that did the Super Bowl shuffle, remember? And, you know, I was just a kid when the 85 Chicago Bears won the Super Bowl 20, but this is one of the first teams I remember because they had so many flamboyant personalities and characters on this team. They had the crazy quarterback, Jim McMahon, and then they also had, of course, the great running back, Walter Payton, one of the greatest running backs of all time. They also had William Perry, the Fridge. Remember the Fridge? The defensive lineman who weighed over 300 pounds that they would put in at running back in goal line situations because nobody could tackle the guy. And the defense, they had this great defense, the Monsters of the Midway, one of the nastiest defenses in all of NFL history, led by linebacker Mike Singletary. Great championship team, one of the greatest teams of all time in NFL history. And the documentary told the story of how Coach Mike Ditka and defensive coordinator Buddy Ryan took this group of characters and personalities and really molded them and shaped them into a championship team. It was a really, really good documentary. But at the end of the 30 for 30 on ESPN, they kind of surveyed all the players and said, you know, would you do it all over again? Because many of them are like physically debilitated now from how rough the game was on their bodies. Some of them have like traumatic brain injuries. And they said, would you go back? Would you change anything? And every player the interview said, I wouldn't change anything. I would do it all over again. But what really struck me is so many of the players talked about the friendships. What they missed the most is that special time in their life when they had these friendships, when they had this brotherhood, this group of guys who played for each other, the love that they had for each other, the camaraderie that they had in the locker room. And yeah, the fame and the glory and the money was nice, but most of them said, I miss what we had in that locker room, those friendships. And so the question for us today is, you know, how do we develop those kind of friendships? How do we develop friendships that impact us at that level, that really make a difference in our lives, that really add value to our lives? How do we get friendships like that? And so we're going to look at the scripture today to hopefully get some answers to that question. If I had to summarize it for you, I would say follow the golden rule. Remember the golden rule? Most of us learned the golden rule in catechism or in Sunday school, right? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, do for others what you would like them to do for you. Or if you remember the traditional kind of King James way, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus said this summarizes all that's taught in the law and the prophets, right? If you want to have satisfying relationships, you have to do for others what you want them to do to you. And so let's apply this. We're going to take that concept and apply it to friendships, because if you really want to have great, deep, satisfying, meaningful, lifelong relationships, it's simple. And if you're taking notes today, I really want to encourage you. We give you notes when you come in. There's some little note sheets. Take those out and take some notes today, because I'm going to be giving you just a lot of teaching today. And there's also some crayons if you didn't get some on the way, and you can decorate your notes if you'd like to, okay? But get your notes out. And so here's the heart of the message today. If you don't get anything else today, I want you to get this. Be the friend that you would like to have. See, if we take what Jesus said in the golden rule and we apply it to friendships, to relationships, then you want to be the friend that you would like to have, because you will attract who you are, not what you want. Did you know that? How many of you know that's true? You need to hear that again. You will attract what you are, who you are, not what you want. So many people want meaningful relationships. So many people are looking for the right people in their lives, especially single people who want to find just the right person, that perfect person out there. And sometimes they focus so much on the person out there, finding the perfect person, that they neglect to become the person that they need to become. My greatest advice for you, if you want to have deeper and more satisfying relationships, especially friendships, is to become the kind of person you want to attract, because you will attract who you are. If you're bitter, you will attract bitter people. If you are selfish, you will attract selfish people. If you are materialistic, you will attract materialistic people. And so who you are will attract the kind of people who are like you. And so our prayer today is, God, make us more like you. Make us into the friends that we can be. Make us someone who does for others what we would like to have done for us. And so I want to give you some golden rules of friendship. We're going to look at three today, then we're going to revisit this next week. We're going to talk about friendships for the next 2 weeks. So today, three golden rules of friendship. Get ready to take some notes this morning, okay? Here's the first one. You have to invest the time. If we're going to have deeper, more satisfying, more meaningful relationships, friendships, you have to invest the time. See, deep friendships aren't accidental, aren't they? They're not accidental. They're not instant. They're not cheap. They're intentional. They're intentional. Satisfying relationships are intentional. You have to choose to invest the time and the energy. No friendship can flourish without regular attention, right? The book of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 25, the scripture says this, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. Now, doesn't that just seem like a no-brainer? Just common sense, right? I love the word of God sometimes. Sometimes we just need some common sense from God's word. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. That may seem so obvious, but sometimes we neglect to do that very thing. Sometimes we're frustrated. We don't know why we don't have more friends, why we're not getting along with people, but we're not showing ourselves friendly. We're not demonstrating to others what it means to be a friend. Listen, don't wait for other people to be friendly. Show them. Show yourself friendly. You want to improve your relationships? You want less drama in your life, less frustration? You lead the way. You demonstrate for others what it looks like to be loving and caring and giving, to be a great friend. Don't wait for people to show up. You show up for them. How many of you know that true friends show up for each other? Come on, the friends you can really count on, they show up for you. You can't be a true friend to somebody unless you're willing to show up when they need you. If somebody only shows up in your life when they need something from you, they are an acquaintance. And it's okay to have acquaintances. You have to have some acquaintances. You have to know kind of who your circle of people are. But a true friend is going to be there for you. And if they can't physically be there, they're praying for you. They're texting you. They're there for you when you need them. That is a hallmark of friendship. People who just show up when they need something from you, they're an acquaintance. And I want to tell you, all of those friends that you have on Facebook, most of them are acquaintances. Okay? Yeah, you might have a few of them on there on Facebook that are true friends, but most of them are acquaintances. Do you remember a few years ago when Facebook came out, how people were going crazy, like, you know, just friending as many people as they can? You know, it was like a competition, right? It was really competitive because you wanted to have as many friends as you could have because you could feel really good about yourself. Like, I've got 3,000 friends on Facebook. So people were just like accepting everybody and their mama's friend request. They didn't know half these people, right? And then a couple years later, the trend started reversing. People started realizing, I don't like half these people that I'm friends with on Facebook. I can't stand the stuff they post on Facebook. They're always posting politics and ranting. I'm unfriending them. And I'm so tired of getting invites to play Candy Crush Saga. I do not want to play Candy Crush Saga. All right, don't send me invites to play Candy Crush Saga. I got things to do. And so then people started unfriending people. Then you started getting these messages from people. Dear so-and-so, I'm just letting you know I'm going through my Facebook friends. If you really love me, send me a message and let me know. If not, you might disappear from my Facebook friends. Right? You ever got one of those messages? People started cleaning house. They had 3,000 friends. Now they got like 1,500. Did you make the cut? Half of those people are acquaintances, okay? They're not going to be there for you when you need them. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says this. Do not be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. Boy, what a simple principle. See, we're talking about investing the time. We're talking about giving ourselves to other people, our time, our energy, our attention. Let me say this to you. You will get more friendships and deeper and lasting friendships by becoming interested in others than you ever will by getting people interested in you. Isn't that so true? It may seem kind of counterintuitive, but the reality is we live in a culture where people think they have to make themselves so interesting to everybody else, and it's all about me, you know? And if I just dress the right way, look the right way, if I just post the perfect picture of myself on Instagram and I put just the right filter that matches my skin tone and my complexion, everybody will all of a sudden be so interested in me. Okay, I have a news flash for you. I don't want to hurt your feelings this morning, but you ready for this? People are not interested in you. Sorry. People are not nearly as interested in you as you think they are. You know, when you go to that party and you show up and you're kind of conscious about how you're dressed and how you look and what will people think about me, they're not thinking about you. Because you know why? They're doing the same thing. They're wondering how people think about them and if they're dressed the right way and if they look good and what people think about them. People by nature are interested in themselves, aren't we? Don't you love to sit down with a friend who's into you and have a cup of coffee? You know, that friend who wants to know, how's life going for you? How's work going for you? How are things? Somebody who's interested in you. It's one of the most simple principles, but relationships are give and take, aren't they? Now, I'm not saying you should do all of the giving and you're only interested in them and you never get anything back, but there's some give and take here. I give you this analogy. It's a financial analogy, but if you want to make some withdrawals from people, you have to make some deposits into them, don't you? Or you're going to be bankrupt. You're going to overdraft the relationship. And so you have to be willing to give. You have to have something to give to that person. You have to give them some attention. You have to show some interest in them. And if you will do that, man, you will begin to see your friendships change. You'll begin to win people over by simply showing interest in other people and putting them first. And so I want to encourage you to invest the time. Become others focused. You know, this is just good stuff from the Word of God about how we relate to people in general. Not even just friendships. This is about how we relate to people, how we treat people who are made in God's image. Remember, this is all rooted in the great commandment, loving God and loving people. Loving people. The two are absolutely connected. And so I want to say this to you. For some of you, sometimes you find that like friendships don't develop, you know, as quickly as you'd like to, or you get upset because, you know, a friendship seems to be going good and it doesn't work out. And sometimes it's because you're over needy. You're over needy. You're overdrafting the relationship. You need too much too soon. But the reality is when you come to a new friendship, when you make an acquaintance and you want to develop a friendship with that person, you have to invest in them some. You have to show them that you bring something to the table that's going to be good for them, because relationships are give and take. Is this making sense today? Is this just good practical wisdom from God's word? I hope this helps you out today. Here's the second golden rule of friendships, okay? Invest the time. The second one is this: earn their trust. Everybody say trust. You got to earn people's trust. See, if you want to build great friendships, you've got to earn people's trust, don't you? Trust is what makes a friendship a friendship. Without trust, there is no friendship. See, there's another difference between an acquaintance and a friend. You talk to acquaintances, but you trust a friend. You trust a friend. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 says this: many people claim to be a friend, but it's rare to find someone who is trustworthy. Isn't that good? Isn't that true? It's so true, isn't it? Many people claim to be a friend, but it's rare to find someone who is trustworthy. You see, people don't give you their trust automatically. That's why deep friendships don't happen automatically. If you think about the friendships that you have in your life that you would consider deep, committed friendships, it's because you've established trust. You don't get someone's trust automatically. It takes time to earn someone's trust, and that's why it takes time to cultivate deep, meaningful relationships. You have to earn somebody's trust, and it just doesn't come automatically. The Bible actually gives us some advice about how we can earn people's trust. So we're going to dig down into this a little bit deeper. I'm going to give you three ways from the scripture. This is just common, just common sense wisdom from the Bible that's just so practical for our lives. Here's three ways that you can earn people's trust. Number one, by being reliable. Everybody say reliable. By being reliable. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves most of the time. What does the scripture say? A friend loves at all times, right? When it's convenient, when it's inconvenient, when you're going through good times, when you're going through bad times, right? A friend loves you for who you are. They love you no matter what's going on, whether you had a bad week or not. And so when you find someone who is reliable, man, they really have the potential to be a true friend. Hold on to people who are reliable. Are you with me this morning? Listen, if you're single, And you meet somebody who's reliable, who's a really, you know, a really good friend, and they're reliable, and they happen to be good looking, marry them. If you like it, then you better put a ring on it, as Beyonce said. I'm telling you, because reliability is a characteristic that is hard to come by. How many of you know that's true? So you want to grab people who are reliable. Those are people you can trust. Those are people you can build a relationship with. You have to be reliable. The second way to build trust is by being loyal. By being loyal. Now, people just aren't loyal anymore, are they? People are not loyal to friendships. People aren't loyal to their companies, to their organizations. People aren't loyal to brands. We live in a culture that says, what have you done for me lately? Right? What have you done for me lately? But man, loyalty is such an important characteristic. Another translation of Proverbs 17, verse 17 says this: a true friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in a time of need. Boy, somebody who helps you in a time of need, that's a true expression of loyalty, isn't it? Aren't you thankful when you think about people who are loyal in your life? I bet you that's a short list when you really think about people who have been loyal to you. Some names and faces hopefully come to mind, and they're probably your deepest and closest friends. And loyalty is just something we have to prioritize. If we want to become better friends and the people that we're deepening our relationships with, man, look for loyalty as a key to strengthening your relationship. How many of you had siblings growing up? Some of you, you'll relate to this, I think. I'm one of four boys. I had three brothers. I'm number three of four boys. I had two older brothers, one younger brother. And growing up, we fought like cats and dogs. Some of you will relate to this, right? But if anybody messed with us, we stuck together, right? That's the law of siblings. Like, we were fighting like cats and dogs. But if anybody messed with the brothers, we circled the wagons, right? And I lived in a neighborhood where we had some rowdy kids. We had some kind of sketchy stuff happening. And every now and then, you know, somebody tried to pick a fight or something. And one time I was playing in the woods, and this group of guys ganged up on me. You know, they were going to jump me. And I didn't have the imposing physique that I have now at that time. I was kind of just a little skinny white boy at the time. And these guys ganged up on me, were picking a fight on me. And my little brother ran to go get my older brother, Josh, my second oldest brother. Now, my second oldest brother is kind of crazy. He's an army chaplain right now. He's a airborne army chaplain, which means he jumps out of perfectly good airplanes. Okay, he's always been like that, crazy. No surprise to me that he would grow up to become G.I. Joe and be jumping out of airplanes, okay? He's one of those chaplains, like, he put me on the front lines. I want to be with the guys, right? I want to be there in the action. That's how he is. Well, listen, my little brother went and got my older brother, Josh, and he did what any good older brother would do. He went to my dad's tool shed and got an axe. At which point he came into the woods running and screaming and whipping that axe in every direction. And kids were dropping like flies and scattering like ants. And nobody in the neighborhood ever messed with me again because they all knew that kid Jeremy, his older brother, is an axe murderer. That's loyalty right there. A brother is born for adversity. When you need him, he is there for you. And loyalty is in short supply in the culture that we live in. So you want to prove yourself to people. You want to be a blessing to people. You want to show your commitment to people. Man, be loyal. Stick with people. Even when they mess up. Even when they screw up, man, stand by them. Be a friend to them. And you'll see God use you to be a blessing to other people. Here's a third way that you can build trust with people. By keeping confidences. Whoa. By keeping confidences. You know, we all need a safe person in our lives that we can share secrets with, don't we? I hope you have somebody like that. Do you have somebody like that you can just share anything with them? They're a safe person, like that kind of person that you just need to go out to and you can confess things to them and they'll pray for you and they'll love you and they'll stand by you and they'll accept you for who you are. I sure hope you have somebody like that in your life. When I think about somebody that's a safe person for me, I think about my best friend, Kyle, that I grew up with. We went to high school together. We still stay in touch to this day. He was my best man at my wedding. I was his best man. And he's a godly man, great man of God. And we pray for each other. And we pick up the phone. When we talk, it's like we just pick right back up like when we were high school kids. And listen, we have this agreement. It's called mutually assured destruction. This policy. Do you remember back during the Cold War? Some of you who are old enough to remember that. Remember how the United States had all of our nukes pointed at the Soviet Union, and the Soviet Union had all their nukes pointed at us, and everybody knew if somebody pushed the button, the other side was going to push the button. There was this policy of mutually assured destruction, right? If you remember that from the Cold War. See, me and Kyle, we have enough dirt on each other that there's a policy of mutually assured destruction. He could take me out, and I could take him out, right? But neither one of us are ever going to push the button because we're a safe person for each other. He's somebody I can call and just confess and download and say, man, would you pray for me? And he can do the same thing for me. He'll text me or call me and just say, hey, man, I need you to pray for me. I'm going through this or going through that. And so, man, one of the ways that you build trust in relationships is by learning to keep confidences. The mark of a true friend is that they know how to keep a secret. See, if you really want people to trust you, you can't be a gossip. You can't be a gossip. And I want to say this to you, if you're a gossip and you're wondering today why you don't have deeper relationships, I can help you figure it out. Nobody trusts you. You can't be a gossip blabbing everybody's business and nobody can trust you and keep confidence with you and have deep relationships. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13, a true friend will keep a secret. A true friend will keep a secret. You can say anything to them and they're not going to blab about it. Proverbs 11:13 in the today's English version says this, no one who gossips can be trusted. See, if somebody gossips to you, they will gossip about you. How many of you know that's true? Don't ever think it's an honor when somebody comes to you and trash talks somebody else that they shared some like classified information with you and you're so special. No. If they're gossiping to you, they will gossip about you. And so if you can't commit to not being a gossip, you're not going to have deep, committed relationships and friendships in your life. You know why? People will be superficial with you because they can't trust you. That's what will happen. And so I want to encourage you to make the commitment that you're not going to gossip. You're going to earn people's trust by keeping confidence. Let me take it a step further because the gospel is not just a list of do's and don'ts. The gospel is supposed to affect our hearts and how we treat people. Take it a step further. Don't just not talk about people. Spread good things about people. See, that's how we redeem these broken things in our culture. We're not going to just not trash talk about people, but we're actually going to speak good things about people. You know how when you say things about people, how it gets back to them? You know how that's true, right? Especially when you say something bad about somebody, it eventually finds its way back to you. Sometimes it's distorted what you said, but it finds its way back to you. Listen, just imagine if you say good things about people behind their back, how those things get back to people and it wins you favor with people. Is this good for you? I hope this helps you. You know, I do that, especially with other pastors. I meet people all the time who visit our church or just meet people out, you know, in my neighborhood, different places. And they say, oh, I used to belong to so-and-so church. Or this is my pastor, do you know? And if I know him, I say, oh, your pastor's a great guy. I had lunch with him. Man, he's such a blessing. That's such a great church. I just want to talk good things about him because you know what? I know it's just going to get back to that person. And they're going to say, man, I met this guy, Pastor Jeremy. He's crazy. He has church in a movie theater, but he said, you're wonderful. And it just wins you favor with people. All of a sudden, people start liking you. All of a sudden, doors start opening for you. All of a sudden, like people just start feeling good about you because the things you have said about them have found their way. And you know what happens? It makes a way for you. And the next time you bump into that person, if you've spoken good about them and it gets back to them before they saw you, then they see you and they feel warm and fuzzy about you. Oh, some of you, this would change your career. You're looking at me like, what does this have to do with anything? Start trying this around your workplace. Find something good about your boss to say. Find something good about your coworker. You might say, well, Pastor Jeremy, there's 10 things that's bad about him and one thing that's good. Focus on the one thing that's good. Lord, help me to focus on the one thing that's good. And talk that up about them and let it just get back to them. And see, I'm not talking about kissing up. I'm not talking about schmoozing or manipulating. But if you begin to speak blessings to people, you will see God's blessings over your relationships. You'll see your friendships go deeper and you will earn people's trust. You with me this morning? All right, here's the third thing, the third golden rule I'm going to give you for today. And that is listen with empathy. Everybody say empathy. Not a word we use every day. Listen with empathy. You have to invest the time. You have to earn people's trust. And you have to listen with empathy. See, listening, I believe, is probably the most important skill in building friendships and building relationships. Because you can't love people without listening to people, can you? You really can't. See, there's a difference between hearing people and listening to people. How many of you know there's a difference between hearing people and listening to people? And we're talking about listening with empathy. I looked that word up. Empathy means the ability to understand and share the feelings of others. The ability to understand and share, right? Get it, to really get it, to share the feelings of others. That's listening with empathy. See, listen, this kind of listening with empathy, it involves understanding the heart, the emotions, feeling what that person feels. Sometimes it's what's not being said, right? Sometimes when you sit down with somebody and they're going through something and you're listening to them, sometimes what they're not communicating is just as important as what they're saying. That's what listening with empathy is. It's understanding where they're coming from. I heard this quote a while back, and it's anonymous. I don't know where it came from, but it's helped me tremendously. And you can write this down. It's listen to understand, not to respond. Write that down in your notes today. I don't think that's on the screen, but please put that in your notes. Listen to understand, not to respond. I came across this very simple quote somewhere, and I've really been meditating on that quote, and it's helped me out so much. You see, this is why, because I used to think I was a good listener. You know, I'd be listening to people, but as I was listening to people, I was formulating the perfect response to what they were going to say. Right? I was listening to the information, but I was taking it so I could form the perfect piece of advice, the perfect wisdom, the perfect pushback, whatever. And somebody gave me that quote, and I've really been trying to meditate on that. And I stop myself sometimes and say, no, listen to understand where they're coming from, what they feel. That little simple piece of wisdom has helped me out so much. You know, because there's been countless times that I've had arguments with my wife and my kids because I was hearing them, but I wasn't really listening. My wife's sitting right over here, she probably said, amen, I can testify to that one, you know? And because, you know, guys, we have this habit of trying to fix things, right? Some of you wives are like nudging your husbands like, right now, listen to the preacher. We have this habit of trying to fix things, so like, I say, I'm hearing you, and sometimes my wife just wants to talk to me about what's going on. She's upset about something, she's concerned about something, and she just wants me to listen, and maybe she just wants me to hold her and tell her everything's going to be all right, but she doesn't need me to fix it, right? But I'm already formulating like the perfect response, the perfect piece of advice, the perfect nugget of wisdom. Like, you just need to do this. And she's like, shut up. I just want you to listen. Somebody who's married said amen. I felt the Holy Spirit on that one. Listen to understand, not to respond. James chapter 1 verse 19 puts it this way. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Whew, there's some wisdom in that. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. We usually reverse that, right? We're quick to talk, and we're slow to listen, and then we get really angry really fast. But if we'll put this into practice, you'll notice that if you do the first two, the third is automatic. If you're quick to listen, and you're slow to speak, and you understand where the person comes from, you're probably going to be slow to anger. Probably going to de-escalate some things. You know, every now and then, when my wife and I are or arguing or having aggressive negotiations, sometimes I just need to stop and listen. And it just changes everything, right? There are times when I'm saying something, she's saying something, and we're kind of ratcheting things up, right? And things are escalating, and sometimes I just have to stop and just listen. And what does it do? It de-escalates things, and I hear where she's coming from, and 9 times out of 10, I usually realize I'm wrong, I need to shut up and apologize. That's what usually happens, right? When we stop and we just listen and we hear where the other person is coming from. So listening with empathy, it's all about putting yourself in the other person's place. And I really believe, you know, good communication, it's so integral to any part of a relationship. But this isn't just about little tips and stuff. I mean, this is about what's going on in our hearts, about really caring about the other person, really having compassion for them, really being in it with them, really having God's heart for that person. God, what do you feel for my friend? God, what do you feel for this person that I'm talking to? I really want to have empathy. I want to care. I want to care about what they're going through. And so I want to leave you with just three practical applications, okay? I want to give you just three things that we can all really work on. This is going to be a very practical series, okay? Looking at God's word, just getting some wisdom from God's word. And let me give you three practical applications today that you can leave with. Here's the first one. Do something this week to show yourself friendly. Do something this week to show yourself friendly. Remember we talked about that early on, that if a person wants to have friends, a person who has friends must show themselves friendly. We have to demonstrate. We have to demonstrate what it means to be a friend. We have to demonstrate what it means to be a good friend, a committed friend. So text somebody. Reach out to somebody. Encourage somebody this week. Find out what you can do for somebody. It may be just the simplest thing. I don't know. I don't. You can apply this 100 different ways. It may be a friend. It may be a coworker. Maybe somebody you haven't talked to in a while. But show yourself friendly. Write it down and say, I'm going to commit to showing myself friendly this week to somebody. I'm just going to put this into practice, and I'm going to be proactive, and I'm going to show up in somebody's life. I'm going to allow God to use me. And right now, God's going to start giving some of you some ideas. Maybe somebody you haven't talked to in a while. Maybe a friend who's going through a difficult time that needs your prayers. I have a friend who just emailed me this past week. We were great friends in seminary, and he's going in for a diagnosis this week, and he might have cancer. You know what? I need to pray for him. I need to be texting him and emailing him, reaching out to him this week. I did that just the other day. We exchanged emails. But find somebody. Show yourself friendly. Invest in somebody this week. Here's the second thing. Strive to listen. And don't just listen. Don't just hear, but to listen and to understand, not to respond. Listen to understand, not to respond. Really, if you will put that into practice, it'll change your conversations. There are times when this quote literally comes to me, because I have ADD sometimes when I'm sitting down listening to people. Some of you do too. But listen to understand, not just to respond. Now, there's going to come a point where you're going to respond. Relationships are give and take. You're going to have something to say. But listen first to understand, not just to formulate a response, because you might just really get where they're coming from or catch something that you wouldn't have caught if you were just preoccupied with saying the perfect thing when they're done talking. Are you with me this morning? And then here's the third one. Join a life group. Join a life group. Listen, this is something we really believe in our church. We just kicked off a new semester of life groups. It's not too late to get in one. You can go to the website, redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Right now there's a scrolling banner that has something about life groups on there. You click on that, it'll take you to our page that has information. We have three weekly groups right now. We also have two monthly groups for men's fellowship, women's fellowship. You're really busy, you can start at least with a monthly group. And we want this to expand. We want to see more and more life groups. I'm hoping this summer and this next fall that we just see our life groups just double, that some of you will just feel God tugging on your heart to open your home or to help lead or co-lead a group. And if you're interested in that, you can see Joe, who gave you the welcome today. He leads our life group teams. And so, but I want to encourage you, get into life groups, because, man, something happens when we get into relationship with each other. We need each other. We're better together. We grow more spiritually. You have a story, and you've had an experience with God that I need, and you have spiritual gifts, and you have experiences and strengths where I'm weak, and I have strengths where you're weak, and we need each other. How many of you know we're better together? That's why God came up with this whole idea of church. If spirituality was meant to just be an exercise that you did by yourself at home, then we wouldn't need each other. And sadly, so many people process church this way, that church is just content. Why do I need to go to church? I can listen to it online. I can listen on my iPod. All those things are wonderful, but we need to be in relationship with each other. Something happens when we get into relationship with each other. We grow. And so I want to encourage you, get into a group. If one of our weekly groups doesn't fit your schedule, I know we only have a few, then get into one of those monthly groups, or pray about getting involved in the future, or maybe opening your home to co-host or to co-lead a group. But those are three just really practical things that we can do. Come on, those are three things all of us can do. And so I want to pray for you today. As we come to the close of the service, would you stand with me? The worship team's coming back in just a moment. We're going to receive communion together. And we're going to have another song, just a moment in God's presence together. But before we do that, I want to pray for you. And I want to remind you again that the key to having stronger, better friendships is to become the kind of friend that you would like to have. Now listen to me, this is spiritual. This is spiritual. This isn't self-help stuff I'm giving you today. This isn't a little nice little thing, you know, oh, we're going to get better at relationships. Wouldn't that be nice? No, no, this is spiritual stuff. Jesus boiled it down to two simple things. He said, really, you want to know what it's all about to walk with God? It's to love him with everything you have, and it's to love your neighbor. It's to love people as you love yourself. And boy, don't we love ourselves. We take pretty good care of ourselves, don't we? We like to feed ourselves. We like to put the best clothes we can put on ourselves. Some of you really like to pamper yourselves. I can tell because you look really good today, and I'm glad. I'm so glad you put makeup on and you dressed up nice. You look good. But here's the thing. This is spiritual. This has an impact on people's lives, and it has an impact on us. It makes a difference in our lives. And so we want to invite God to transform us. We've heard some practical things from God's word today, some simple practical points, but I don't want you just to leave here with a few nice little points. Here's what we want to do. We want to say, Holy Spirit, would you take the truth of God's word and would you transform my heart? God, is that even in this moment of worship we're about to have, God, would you transform my heart? God, maybe I need to forgive somebody today, God. I'm going to tell you, some of you, when we talked about loyalty and trust, that's really hard for you to let people in because you've been hurt by somebody. Listen to me today because I really believe this is for somebody here today. Some of you, you need to forgive somebody. If you're holding on to things and it's hard for you to let people in and you're guarded, you're wondering why you don't have deeper and more meaningful friendships or people that really love you have been alienated lately, and it's because you need to allow God to do some healing in your heart. And when he does that, you're going to open up again. We always have to take chances to let people in, and people aren't perfect. But the reward is worth the risk. And God wants us to have people in our lives who can be a blessing to us, who can be there for us, who can do this journey of life with us, really be in it with us, people who can really make a difference in our lives. And you know what? He wants to work through us to be a blessing to somebody else. And so remember that the great commandment, loving God with everything you have and loving people, they are intricately connected. And here's what I believe today, the greater the revelation we get of God's love for us, how much he loves us, how much he accepts us, no matter what our failures are, no matter what our past is, no matter what our baggage is, God just keeps loving us relentlessly. Man, I'm telling you, the greater our capacity to get a hold of that revelation, the greater your heart and your capacity grows to love other people. Are you with me this morning? And so our prayer today is, God, give us a greater revelation of your love. God, I want to love more like you. God, I want to have more room for people. I want to have more forgiveness for people. I want to have more patience and more grace for people. God, I want to have more capacity to invest in the lives of others. But God, I'm just admitting I'm tired. I'm just admitting I've had some people burn me. I'm just admitting that sometimes I don't want to be around people because people drive me crazy. But Lord, I know that loving people is the other half of the equation. And you purposed me for this. And so, Holy Spirit, would you take these simple words of wisdom from Scripture and would you make them come alive in me? Can we pray that together this morning? Just pray that with me. Whether you're a Christian, maybe you're just here checking out church, I think we all want to have more fulfilling relationships. So let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, that you do love us the way we just described it, God. You're a God who loves us as a heavenly Father. You're a relentless God who pursues us, God, no matter what our past, no matter what our failures, our hang-ups, our habits, God. You just receive us by your grace. And I pray for every person in this place that they would have a greater revelation of your love, of your grace, of your mercy. God, if there's somebody in this place today who feels far from you, God, I pray that they would know that you love them. And just in the simplest of ways today, they would say, God, I receive you into my life. God, I want to have a relationship with you. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to have a relationship, a personal relationship with you. And just invite him into your life. Jesus, I invite you into my life today. But God, we're asking you today, every one of us, to expand our capacity, God, to enlarge our hearts, to love people, to be better friends. Lord, we don't want to start with fixing everybody else. God, we're asking you humbly to fix us, God, to make us the kind of friend that we want to have, God, so that we can be a blessing to others, so that we can enrich somebody else's life, so that we can make a difference and show somebody your love, and so that also, God, we can receive friends into our lives who are going to make us better people, who are going to go on the journey with us and be there when we need them, God. We thank you for the gift of friendships. And Lord, we want to do unto others as you have done for us, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.